This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 640, The Portal to BlizzCon Opens. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops Adorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Fandeth, the still not a meat shield, Toasty, and the High Priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Ahem. Bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. Hey, Toasty.
Oh, hey.
Are you happier with that intro?
Oh, I've got to listen.
So you knew
I was reading something. Oh, damn it.
So does this mean we need to create an intro that like just totally trolls Toasty really bad just to see if he's going to listen?
That means somebody else actually has to actually record an intro, and that hasn't happened in a long time.
Oh, that can happen, my friend.
It can happen. But it hasn't.
You know, if only there was somebody in this Showtime channel that knew how to record and edit audio.
Yeah.
See, and here's the thing. There have been people who have known how to record and edit audio for a long time, but I've been the one recording the intros. Right.
Medros, we'll talk.
Do you want me to send you the backing track?
Maybe. Like, now you're actually participating in it, man.
Well, I figure if we're going to go through all this effort of trolling me, we're going to use a backing track that I paid for, because...
So, are you saying that you're going to help me troll you? Is that what's going on right now?
Well, I mean, there's a difference between help and begrudging acceptance.
Oh, you're such a good friend, Toasty.
I do what I can.
And, of course, as I'm sure everybody's already guessed, that other voice is Allie. Hey, Allie.
Hello. I missed you guys last week.
We missed you, too.
But I listened to the episode. It was a good episode. Thank you to
Fred
filling in for me. Appreciate that, buddy. I'm good. You know, it's been a busy few weeks for me. And, you know, life is fun. And adulting is a different F word. But... You know, you push through and you continue on and you have fun when you can, which is why we're here.
Funkadelic?
That's a word.
Frazzletastic?
That's also a F word, yes.
Frappuccino?
Frappuccino.
Sure, I'll take one, thanks.
I need caffeine in a bad way.
I have caffeine in the form of rum and coke, so that's a thing.
Must be nice. Toasty. I'm just going to drink my water.
I had the drink for you that you needed yesterday. You're all good.
Which drink?
Crown and Coke.
Okay.
That is also acceptable.
I'm glad to hear that, because I didn't feel like having anything else. So.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep you drinking water or black coffee.
That's because you're being healthy. Just have a drink with me at BlizzCon and then we're all good.
Well, at BlizzCon, everything's off the rails.
Yes.
Like, not in terms of my drinking. That's still, like, I promised you the one. That'll be it.
Yeah, just give me the one, and then we're good. I won't get you drunk, I promise. Then if Seraphis turns around and has one drink with you...
Oh, no.
And then if Seraphis and I get together and say we should all have a drink together... You know, just... Things might happen, you know? Things might happen.
This escalated so quickly.
So Toasty, I'm curious about something. I was listening to you guys talking a lot away from the keyboard for a short time, and... You mentioned you made a bet last year, and you made a bet this year. Who did you bet, what did you bet yourself that the Blues are going to beat the Jets?
I didn't bet anything on that.
Well, that's just failing, man.
Well, first of all, it's hard to make a bet with yourself.
No, it isn't.
Okay, so the Blues won that series. I'm going to wear a Blues jersey making my profile picture.
Nobody will be surprised by that.
This is true. However, really, either way that bet, you're going to win and lose, so, you know.
Exactly.
Well, how was your week going out there, friend?
My week was not terribly productive, honestly. I did the World Quest event thing, which, like, yay. I got literally nothing of use, which was less than ideal. I attempted a queue for LFR and got sick of the queue, so I stopped counting for it. Then I did a bunch of island expeditions, and I also got nothing but doubloons off that. But, like, you know, doubloons are great. I don't mind doubloons, but, like, some pets would be nice. Or even some of the bonus quests that where I gain, like, a lot of Azurite power.
Those are awesome.
I would like those. But I got doubloons. I think I got, like, six of them. So, like, that's nice. That's great. But I still have a long way to go before I have enough for anything that I want. So, yeah. What else did I do? I mean, honestly, that was pretty much it. A lot of world just quests and island expeditions.
Did you take the quest, Toasty?
Yes, I took the freaking quest.
I'm glad to hear that. I would be sad if you didn't.
Well, see, what helped was I logged out right in front of the quest giver.
There you go. That works.
Oh, I didn't intentionally do that. But I logged back in like, ooh, a quest.
Here I am giving you credit for that. Now I know.
Change my name again.
I don't know what you're talking about. So what's your eye level out there, bud?
398, I think. Or 397. One of the two.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll hear what your item level is soon.
What's your 2 weeks been like there, Allie?
Pretty good. I got a chance to do Crucible of Storms on normal, which was really cool, especially because I like old god type stuff. So that was pretty amazing. And in one of the boss rooms, there's some eyeballs on the wall. And if you have your sounds turned up the right way, you can hear them squishing when they, you know, make noises and move and stuff. And I have a couple of guildies who hate that sound. So it was fun to give them a hard time with that. But it was a fun fight. I think they are kind of challenging, annoying mechanics, but not so much that it, you know, ruins it. So that was good times. As for Heroic Battle of Dazara lore, we're still working on that. We killed Heroic Conclave and Rostcon, which was awesome. And then, Mechatork is kind of a pain on Heroic, so haven't beaten that yet. But, you know, maybe next week. Did the Dark Shore scenario and didn't get anything, but that's okay. And, well, I did, but it wasn't enough. And I worked a little more on my little Pally that I'm doing for the Iron Man challenge with WoW challenges. And she is now level 21. And you definitely start feeling the difference of having only white and gray gear and not using talents. It's, you have to be a little more methodical with what you do, not jump off cliffs, you know, things like that. So that's definitely been an interesting challenge so far.
I would totally fail that.
I almost did twice. Once because I underestimated the height of a cliff I drove off of. I mean, I drove off of it on purpose. And because, you know, I have squishy, you know, white and gray gear, did a lot of damage and almost killed me, which would have been the worst way to lose the challenge. And then I took on a rare, but I was in a hurry because it was like the last thing I needed to kill for a quest because I just needed to kill ogres. And I didn't realize it was a rare. And so I pulled and I'm like, oh crap. So thankfully I lived, but there was some red flashes on my screen. So I almost didn't live, but I did. And that's what counts.
So are you like allowed to roll Adrenai who has that hot that you can use? Yeah. Like, is there any rules against that kind of stuff?
No, if it's something that your class naturally has, you can have it. Like, for example, I'm rolling a Pally so I can heal myself and I can use all my naturally given Pally abilities.
Lay on hands is good.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm only 21, so I don't have that yet. But, like, the heal, the bubble, divine shield, being able to throw the hammer to pull things at a distance definitely helps to more carefully pull and pull away from mobs so you don't get a bunch of them, hopefully. And a little bit once I get the, you know, little mount that lets you run away for a little bit. I'm really good with spell names, really. Once I get that, that'll help too. So just a lot of, you know, survivability things. And because that's what's naturally given to me at that class that I chose, I can use it. Just like hunters can use their pets to tank and rogues can stealth, you know, all of that. Like if it's been given to them naturally, then they can use it.
Nice.
It's definitely a challenge. It makes you look at the game in a different way, which can be kind of refreshing. I'm really enjoying it.
It's awesome.
How was your week in WoW?
My week, not too bad. I actually did some emissary quests and did some incursions. The incursions more to get get closer to completing the world quest weekly on as many characters as possible. I'm within one or two quests on 4 to 5 characters, so they're getting pretty close. And my panda is actually over 2,000 resources finally. He hasn't been there for a very long time, if ever, so that's good. My druid also needs to get some more, because last I checked he was like under 1,000, and that's not good. So I realized that I completely forgot to go over to Stormwind, and totally didn't realize that there was 2 allied quest chains that I actually could make progress on, because I finally did the dungeon that I needed for the Dark Iron one.
Yes, you did.
And I completely forgot to start the Kul'tiran stuff. So I completed the Dark Irons. I can now roll a Dark Iron. I have not made one yet. And I'm now next going over to Drestvar for the Kul'tiran one, because I just finished getting all the wood.
Okay.
So that one will be coming up at some point when I actually feel like doing something in Drestvar.
You should definitely do it before the show next week and tell us the ending result of it.
All right. I did finish the war campaign, so that was good. And need to find some way to experience the Horde side so I can see the stuff from, I think it was 815, that doesn't get shown on Alliance side. Or maybe it's 8-1. Basically, I want to see the Starfang stuff, and I'm assuming that's only Horde side, because I have not seen it on Alliance side. Other than, like, mentions of that character. So, we'll see. And I was sad. I did not get the eye level I was hoping for this week. But I did get a good eye level, I think.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
Yeah. Same as yours.
Nice. So, 399. I can't break 400. I just can't get the right drops. It's mocking.
Have you done Dark Shore yet?
Yes. And okay. I got an equivalent. I already have 400 in the slot I got it in, so.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. That's been my luck, and that's okay. I'll get it eventually.
I know that feeling. I finally got, I think I upgraded a 390 Azerite piece to a 400, and that got me my 399.
Nice.
But I haven't really seen much in the upgrades, much upgrades for that character, for my main, in the way of, like, incursion or stuff dropping from the emissaries, but that'll happen in time. But it was overall not a bad week. I did have a goal of hitting 400 because I wanted to be the best eye level just for a very brief time on the show, but I should have known that was not going to happen. And we'll see what happens when I take Ivis down. Maybe I'll get something. Maybe I'll get 2 400 pieces from him. That'd be nice.
Yeah?
2 400 upgrades? That'd be really awesome.
Unrelated, if somebody wants to, like, carry me through a raid, or several.
Are you asking people to carry you because you can't do that yourself?
Well, I just don't know the fights. So, like, I could learn the fights. And I definitely would if somebody dragged me along. But if, like, I probably wouldn't be contributing much for a little bit.
Do you at least have DBM?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That definitely helps.
But I find even with DBM, like, until I actually see the ability fire off.
Right.
in a real scenario and not just a video. Like, I'm not properly looking out for it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was still raiding, like, DBM would go off and warn me about something if on the first fight. I'm like, okay, that's great. But then I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, oh, that purple swirly thing. That was the bad thing. And now I'm dead. So rip. But after that, I'm fine. First time through, I'll probably just die a lot. That's just how I am. We'll see. Also, Frasley just sent me something, and now I'm worried. If it's not an intro bemoaning paladins, then I'll be disappointed. I have a feeling that some people are listening to it right now.
No, I'm not listening to anything. Just talking to you. Just listening to you guys.
Sure. Okay. Well, while you're definitely listening, let's talk about our first sponsor.
All right then.
Well, our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you have definitely seen their products. They make collectible final figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzard verse, like Firefly, Star Wars, Doctor Who, stuff like that, good times, and more. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is Tyrion. He drinks, and he knows things. He is my buddy. I actually bought this one and got it in the mail Saturday, something like that. And what's really cool is that Tyrion actually is not attached to the throne. He's just kind of sitting there. You can take him off the throne and put other things on the throne. And if you're easily amused like I am, you can put on a companion cube or Deadpool.
Who would ever put a companion cube on the Iron Throne?
I don't know, man. You don't mess with a companion cube, man.
No. The all five of the ones in this series are removable from their thrones. Okay. The reason I know this is somebody went to New York Toy Fair where they revealed these, and they took other Funko Pops from the display and put them on the throne and switched them around throughout the day. It was probably really funny for some people, anyway. Probably not the people who were like trying to keep the display like accurate, but
yeah. But, I mean, all the ones in the series are great, but obviously Tyrion is awesome because he drinks and he knows things. And so if you are a fellow Tyrion fan, you may want to look into this because it's pretty awesome.
I can't believe what happened to him last night. It was so crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyways.
Yeah. We want to leave this particular Funko for you because we all know how you might have some affinity for the little guy. And
I really do. I like him so. And he's just sitting there at my desk right now, just, you know, watch me podcast. It's good times.
Now, if only he could, like, pour some rum in his little cup.
Right. Well, you know, he's got his wine or whatever they drink. Like, it's fine. He's happy. I won't judge him for not drinking rum. It's cool.
I would quote a line that I recall hearing on a recent episode, but I'm pretty sure I shouldn't do that.
And I have to say, the detail on the throne is actually pretty impressive for being, you know, Funko and everything. Like, you can see all these individual swords and stuff, and some were kind of sticking out a little bit, like on the armrests and stuff. Like, it's pretty well done, really. I'm really pleased with this.
Awesome. One day I'll have those, maybe. We'll see. Gotta make some money first.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Pay bills. Important to do that stuff. Would you like to finish the ad?
Yes, I would. If you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA to check out their online shop and use Shop10 to use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That is bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. Thanks to Funko for their support of the show.
Awesome. All right, so what's coming up with this week in WoW?
It's pretty quiet this week. We've only got the two things. We got the PvP Brawl, and that goes from April 30th to May 6th. That is Gravity Lapse. And then also from April 30th to May 6th, we've got the Mists of Pandaria Time Walking. So grind out all those tokens so you can get your cool Draenor mounts.
Yay, dungeons.
Was that censoring really necessary? I'm not going to read it.
I wasn't aware, so I want to make sure that it was put there. All right. So what's the what's? I mean, I'm sure the big news is like the world first or something, right?
No, it's freaking BlizzCon, man.
Finally, we talked about that last week. There's no BlizzCon this year.
No. We talked about the possibility that there might not be, and then Blizzard's like, "Nah, you freaking wrong."
All right. Well, I'm sure you have lots of time to buy tickets, right?
No. They're on sale this Saturday.
And so what you're telling me is I have to have this episode out by Saturday.
Yeah.
Damn it, Blizzard.
So tickets are on sale May 4th and May 8th. And there are a couple new things with the tickets, which...
A couple new things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of a couple new things, but all right.
There are a couple new things that are going on with the tickets. One of the which is that it's going through a new seller. Instead of Universe, as it's been the last 2 years, but it's being sold through Axis. And Axis has an interesting system where it's not based on a first come first serve basis. Basically, 30 minutes prior to the sale opening for the tickets, you enter a waiting room and then you are selected at random to purchase your tickets. Now, hopefully, that will cut down on the number of successful bots because God knows we have a lot of those every year. And it's, you know, it's not going to be dependent on you having zero latency internet. So, you know, good luck for everybody. I hope I still get mine.
So, what's bets I could get a ticket?
With your luck, 100%.
And guess what? I'm not going to do on Saturday. I won't be around to do my tickets at this time.
You won't be around?
I won't be, no.
Callie, it's you and me.
Okay. I'm so excited. You have no idea. Like, so the day this started... So hold on.
Hey.
Hold on. So I had said in our Discord that last week or sometime, I want to say Tuesday maybe, asking people to ping me in Discord if it gets announced, because I'm not supposed to look at my phone at work. Like, I could take little sneak peeks or whatever, you know, but that's about it. On a normal time when I take a little sneak peek, I may have 2-3 pings on Discord. That's it. Nothing major. I looked and there was 12. And that is when I knew that BlizzCon we've got announced. So to everyone who pinged me and messaged me and whatever, I was having a really rough day and that completely turned it around. So thank you all for being amazing.
So I was, if the other people hadn't pinged you, I was absolutely going to sit there and do a series of about 20 messages in a row that all had your at in it. Just so we made sure you were aware this one was happening that you might want to pay attention to.
Oh man, I think I was in mid conversation with one of my coworkers. I don't even remember what we were talking about. I'm pretty sure for once it was work related.
That's a start.
Him and I don't normally work on the same things. Like, we sit right next to each other, but he's on a different project than I am, so we don't often talk about work. So the fact that we were talking about work was strange. And then, like, I completely derailed the conversation. It's like, BlizzCon, freaking BlizzCon. And then half an hour later, I'm like, oh, right, we were talking about something. And it was, like, vaguely work important. So continue this conversation.
Now that we have recorded Allie's excitement over ticket buying, pre-buying a ticket, I would like you to record Allie during the process of trying to buy a ticket, Toasty, so we can compare the level of excitement as it decreases with the frustration increasing.
Well, if you want, I mean, I can record myself trying to buy tickets on the day of, on Saturday. It's like, I'm going to be at my computer, my husband's going to be behind me, and we're just going to do our best. But honestly, even if we can't get tickets, there are a lot of other ways to get tickets. You know, people buy extras and then put them up, you know, in Discords, you know, at price. Like, I love how supportive this community is with each other on the tickets. Mm-hmm. But even if I don't get tickets, I'm still going. Even if I'm not going to BlizzCon, like, I'm still going to go out there and be out there at that time.
Well, I think when tickets go on sale, I will probably be on the highway, but I'll make sure to check in when I get to where I'm going for the day and see how it went. I truly, Allie, hope that yours is much better than every year that we've tried to buy tickets so far.
Hey, last year wasn't too bad. I think the three of us, I think you, me, and Fan managed to snag up tickets.
Yes. And then there was problems after, but yeah, those were not related to Blizzard's process. So, but yes, I will not be buying tickets. I will not be even trying to buy tickets unless somebody is willing to put their credit card in line, because I cannot. So, And there's a very limited list of people who I will even be willing to buy tickets for with my login. So
fair enough.
But let's take a look at the details about tickets this year.
All right. So first of all, there are three different tiers of tickets. So there's the usual standard BlizzCon pass. There's something new this year that's called the BlizzCon Portal Pass. And then there's the BlizzCon Benefit Dinner Pass. Now, the BlizzCon Pass, the general one, is available for $235 USD, I think. $230 USD, plus taxes and fees. And with that, you get the live event ticket, BlizzCon in-game goodies, your choice of a BlizzCon 2019 collectible, and access to the BlizzCon pregame festivities on the Thursday.
Now, what about the goodie bag?
That's another thing. We're not going to have a standard goodie bag as we've had in previous years. This year being a particularly big anniversary celebration for the Warcraft franchise, they're opting to have a Warcraft specific collectible for BlizzCon this year. So you'll be able to choose between either a Horde soldier statue or an Alliance soldier statue. Now, those choices have to be locked in when you purchase your ticket. So if you're purchasing for other people, make sure to find out which statue that they prefer to have, because you won't be able to change it afterwards.
Personally, I'm okay with this. I feel like, granted, this is my first one, but looking at goodie bags in the past, there's some items in there that I'm wanting, and there's other items in there that I'm like, whatever. So personally, as a Warcraft fan, I am perfectly okay with this, and I'm really excited. I feel bad for those who may be going to BlizzCon that may not care as much about Warcraft, that like these are their choices. But just personally speaking, I'm okay with this.
But hey, they can sell those statues afterwards.
True. It's a good way to look at it.
So we also have the BlizzCon Benefit Dinner Pass. That's the same thing that we've had in previous years. That's available for $750 US. And with that, you get access to the live event ticket, BlizzCon in-game goodies, choice of the collectible, the access to the pregame festivities. You also have dinner with Blizzard folks, signed Blizzard artwork, and reserved seating at the Mythic stage seating area for the opening ceremony and community night. Now, the new thing that's being introduced this year is something called the BlizzCon Portal Pass. So that's the tier in between the Standard Pass and the Benefit Dinner Pass. So the Portal Pass includes some of the same things as the BlizzCon Pass and the Benefit Dinner Pass, in that it gets the live ticket, the in-game goodies, the collectible, and access to the pregame festivities on Thursday. But there are also 7 other things that you have access to when you purchase the Portal Pass. So with the Portal Pass, you'll have access to the Night at the Fair event. That's access to the Darkmoon Fair on Thursday night. You'll also have access to the Portal Pass Lounge. And the Portal Pass Lounge has private concessions, chances to meet Blizzard employees, esports pros, and more. You'll also have access to concierge support, access to preferred parking. So you'll have access to some of the paid parking at lots close to the convention. There are also separate registration lines, separate security lines, early entry to the convention on Friday and Saturday. So there are quite a few benefits for the Portal Pass. I'm not sure, personally, it's worth the increased price of $550 US plus taxes and fees for those. Like that's steep.
Yeah, and that's definitely money I don't have for BlizzCon. Or even if I did, which, I mean, technically I do because I'm, you know, saving up for it. I also kind of want to spend some of that money on, you know, souvenirs and drinks and lunch and having fun with my friends out there, you know, like I don't quite have that much money to throw around for the Portal Badge.
Now, one other thing I want to point out is that the BlizzCon Benefit Dinner Pass also gains the same perks as the Portal Pass. So the Night at the Fair, the lounge, the concierge and parking, all that other stuff. You'll get that as well when you purchase a BlizzCon Benefit Dinner Pass. Now, like the parking is cool, especially if you're, you know, driving around a lot over there and you're staying further away, or if you're local, that's great. Concierge, I'm like, I don't know what a concierge is.
They like help you.
Basically they just like guide you around and help you get stuff answered, and basically like somebody to like help you get around the con.
Okay. Now the thing that I the three things that I think will have people very like clamoring at to get these, especially considering the security lines last year, is the separate lines for registration, security, and early entry to the convention. Because for those of you who didn't go last year, there was a change to the security where they blocked off the entire plaza as opposed to the areas just past the fountain. So you had to go through security there instead. And that led to quite the backup, especially early in the mornings, like before the convention opened. There weren't all that many entries to that. I think there was the one main one. And there was the one main one that led to a series of security booths. I think there were, like, I want to say at least 20 security scanning stations there. But I think, I'm pretty sure that's where all the general admission were going. Now, if you had media passes or like esport player passes or something else, there were other lines that you could go to. But also they were not immediately available either. Like, immediately visible. Sorry. So, more often than not, especially in my case, I went through the general admission line. That sucked. So I see a lot of people, not a lot, I see a decent chunk of people getting the portal pass just for those three perks. I mean, the lounge is also a great bonus too. I'm sure a lot of people will like the chance to just meet some Blizzard employees, especially some of the big guys. And private concessions are nice too. Because the lines for concessions are also stupid long, as they have been in like previous years.
I see the benefit to the pass. I do. I think it's a little bit high, but I see the benefit for it. My hope with this year is that, you know, last year was the first time they did security lines like that. My hope is that, you know, this year they've kind of worked out some of the kinks and maybe it'll just be a well-oiled machine. Another thing that may or may not help with that is that for like tickets and stuff, like you have to actually use the AXS app for it instead of having, you know, whatever. So it's literally just a quick like QR scan. So hopefully maybe that'll help move it along. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Like AXS does the BlizzCon out here. Not BlizzCon. Wow. AXS does the Denver Comic Con tickets, and it's been a very smooth and quick process in the last couple years. So hopefully at least the ticket part of it will be nice and good for everyone, and hopefully they work out those kinks with security and it'll just be awesome.
Another thing worth noting is that the general pass went up in price this year. So previous years it was 200 plus taxes and fees. This year it's 230, so a slight increase, which like is not entirely unexpected. Just because, like,
I will say I've seen a lot of criticism of the fact that the ticket price went up, but what you're getting as physical item is far less than it was for BlizzCon 10, even where you got like a box of stuff, including a Stein. Now you're just getting a figure.
Well, we don't know the exact dimensions of that figure either, right?
True.
Or the quality of that.
It looks pretty cheap to me.
Well, and really, if you think about it, how many years was it at 200? Like, the fact that it's just now going up to, like, 230, that surprises me. So I kind of expected it, to be honest.
Yeah. It's definitely very interesting to see how they're doing it. I'm actually surprised that they're actually doing the benefit dinner sales on the same day as they're doing the regular and portal tickets. Which they've always done the benefit dinner after they've done both rounds of the normal tickets, so that people know whether or not they even want to bother with benefit. Like, if basically benefit was their backup to a regular ticket.
Right.
But last year there was a lot of issues, so hopefully some of the changes this year will make things better. Though I don't know, like, there's definitely some issues that I don't see that this will have any effect on. Those are more organizational and planning things, like the big green tall fences around the entire plaza. That's something that there's no way around. And I know that a lot of cosplay photographers and cosplayers were really upset that they basically ruined the sight lines. And all the pictures look like crap because they had big green fencing in the back.
It made for convenient green screening.
Yes, however, not the green you want.
Shh, don't ruin the joke.
All right, then. So, yeah, tickets go on sale on Saturday and then Wednesday of next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of a reverse. Usually it's Wednesday, then Saturday. So,
one interesting thing is they're going to be expanding the show into Hall E. So that's where the store usually is.
That's the basement, right?
Yeah. And the store is moving to the North Hall. And registration is going to be off-site, but it's going to be close by.
I didn't see that previously, so that's good to know.
Yeah, it's in the Welcome Back to Blue Sky. It's in the announcement article under an epic welcome.
Okay. I'm curious what they'll have in Hall E.
Yeah, me too. One thing that I noticed is that the StarCraft event is moving back into the arena. So mm-hmm. It has me wondering where Overwatch World Cup is going to be.
I assume that they will just have whatever was doing Hearthstone, or Hearthstone, right? No, Heroes, they canceled. So I assume whatever the Heroes esports is going to be at, it'll probably be all Overwatch at that point.
Yeah, that is my best guess.
Honestly, it's surprised with the removal of the Heroes esports. I'm surprised they need to expand to Hall E. But
I think that we're going to get a new franchise, announcement.
I'm not going to say that's not possible. However, that wouldn't. I mean, I don't see how adding Hall E, which is basically the basement, would be facilitated by having another, or would require having another thing. Like, there's not really any benefit to that happening to me.
I'm sure there's a method to their madness. We'll know more we'll once find the time out. Comes.
Yeah. We'll find out in 7 months. 6 months.
Yeah. We'll find out in a few months.
Oh my god. So excited.
One thing to note, and this is both a blessing and a curse. So, in past years, those who have scammed people for BlizzCon tickets, they have basically sold somebody a ticket, put it in the person's name, and then changed it before the deadline to somebody else's name, basically keeping the money and not giving the person a ticket. This year, the system will be different. However, it leads open to a different form of scamming, where once a ticket is transferred, you, as the buyer of the ticket, originally, no longer have access to it. So the warning this year has to change a little bit from watch out for people trying to sell you a ticket that they don't have access to, or they're trying to resell over and over to different people. And instead, watch out for people buying tickets and then doing a report for the transaction, or buying the ticket with a fraudulent credit card and you losing out on the money and not having the ticket. If you're looking to buy or sell tickets, definitely look at WT BlizzCon. And that is the new site being created this year for replacing LF BlizzCon. So definitely look into that for where you want to buy your tickets. If you are looking to buy one, then you don't get one on the night of the sales. Just be careful. That's all.
Yeah, as always, it's the internet. So, people are shady. Speaking of shady people...
Smooth.
All right, going right into that. So there was a ban wave this recently, and it is 4 days ago, 5 days ago, and it's kind of more complicated than normal. So the ban is related to people who are using a particular program that allows you to inject certain changes into your game client as you're playing. This has been used by some people to change the appearance of some things, like armor and character models and such like that, in ways that is not typically intended by Blizzard, but not something Blizzard has ever really gone after people for. However, there is a potential to use this for other means, such as in PvP, making people's names on the other opposing team massive, so you can see where they are. There's other methods this can be used to basically exploit the game. And due to those uses, Blizzard has issued a bunch of bans to people who are running this program in the background. This is something they've been detecting and scanning for a long time. They're always scanning for different programs that are running in the background to try and notice and detect and punish for people using basically cheating applications. Now, some of the bans for these were 30 days, 180 days, or 549 days. Yeah, that's over a year, guys. Like, that's a year and a half, 2 years almost. So the problem is that everybody using this application running got a ban. Even those people who were just using it to change the appearance of their character and other characters that is visible only on their side of the computer. So I see you in game, you seem normal to me. Instead, you, as seeing me in game, you look very different from how I see. But it only affects how you see. It only affects the world you see. So Blizzard did overturn a number of the bans that were appealed because they made a point of saying, basically, like, it is not recommended to run applications that interfere with your client. They actually have an actual statement here. We recently completed a wave of suspensions for World of Warcraft accounts that were found to be operating third-party software that undermines the security of the World of Warcraft client. Reverse engineering and bypassing security protocols that safeguard against client modifications, a clear violation of our terms of service, and we regularly take action against such behavior. Many of the suspensions issued were for 180 days, as the exploit we detected allows for very malicious activities such as gameplay automation or rotation/interrupt botting. Upon further review, we found that some suspended accounts appear to be only using the detected exploit to do client-side character model alteration. That is an activity that we would prefer to respond to with a warning rather than a suspension this time. As a result, we reversed all the suspensions issued in this action. The use of third-party software that modifies the World of Warcraft game client is against our terms of service. We expect players to remove such third-party software or their accounts will be subject to further action. Any future use of software that bypasses the security of the game client, regardless of intention or gameplay advantage, will be detected and sanctioned with increased penalties. I'm curious what you guys think of this.
I mean, it's nice that they've been getting away with it for so long, and they're giving them a pass on it this time around. But if stuff like this allows for exploitation, which clearly it has, otherwise they wouldn't have done this to begin with, then I think a warning the first time around is a fair trade-off. Like, okay, like, you're banned, yeah, we're sorry about that, we're overturning it, but consider this a warning. If you do it again, then you'll get banned. I'm okay with that. If they had gone straight to the ban and kept the ban for the people who are just doing these model injections, then I'd have been a little more upset about that. But as of right now, as the situation stands, I am okay with everything, and I'm okay with the increased penalties because, hey, like, if you keep doing, like, they gave you a warning, they're going to suspend you next time, and if you do it again after that, you clearly didn't learn your lesson the first time. They already gave you a pass. Don't push the envelope.
Basically.
I'm fine with the model alterations, but back at that point, there was, you just added new texture files to your Blizzard folders, and those models were overwritten, basically. I don't know why that's no longer an option. I'm guessing some of the changes they made in the last couple expansions have made that a requirement that you need to go further. Hopefully Blizzard will find some way that people can inject new models without injecting problematic stuff that isn't violating this. But I definitely understand their point, and I fully expect that people who continue to use the software, even if they're not doing anything wrong with it, are going to get a ban for it. So yeah. I feel like they have said everything they need to say on this, and people who don't listen will just not have the game anymore.
Yeah, like, sorry, guys. Cheaters kind of ruined it for you.
Yeah. Like, anytime you do anything that's against the terms of service, you run the risk of getting banned. Just straight up. And so I understand why they just did a warning. And, you know, I agree with everything Tosi said. Like, that's fine. Just as long as people realize, like, it's a warning. So if you keep it up, you're screwed.
Yep. And again, I don't know why the old method is no longer working, but maybe Blizzard will work with people to try and find a new method that will be more secure. But, yeah, I know people who had those mods installed in the past. They're interesting mods.
Oh, man, I've seen some. I've seen some humdingers on our WoW this past week.
I could definitely imagine. Frazzly linked to a very NSFW example.
If it's the one I'm thinking of.
I'm not looking because I don't want to. I don't want to be open to stuff during the show. So.
Oh no, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I will link the thing later.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do that after the show.
Yeah.
Let's hear what's happening with the Mythic rating.
Mythic rating, which I will never do, but there are others who do, and Crucible of Storm.
You can do it, Allie. You can do it.
Maybe if I don't have a job or podcasting and I had more free time. I've stepped into Mythic bosses, but this competitive, you know, world first Mythic rating, that's just not going to happen.
Well, I guess you don't have the dedication for it, I guess.
I mean, if I had that time, but, you know, adulting tends to get in the way. But anyways, people that do have the time and the drive for this are working on Crucible Storm's world first. So far we do have first, second, and third place for the first boss, which is the Restless Cabal. So we have Pieces from EU Draenor, first place. Limit from US Illidan got second place. And Vodkaz, US Zul'jin, got third place. Which is kind of interesting to see that it was not Method. I was actually a little surprised. But Pieces posted their kill video, so that's there. As of right now, the second boss, Unat, has not been killed on Mythic yet. So we're still waiting on that. Pieces, who got rolled first on the first boss, is not actually streaming. So no one really knows where they're at. Limit has gotten it down to about 75% on their best pull. So no Mythic first yet for the second boss. So I'm sure we'll have an update on that soon.
For some reason, I thought that I'd heard that it was down in like a few hours. Because I don't think this was expected to be a huge, lengthy process, right?
No, I think it's
just two bosses. But I think the first boss was probably killed in a few hours. I think. I feel like I heard that, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think the race for this is particularly as cutthroat as...
Yeah.
As Battle for Drunken Zippers.
Wow. Oh. Wow.
Not even bothered to try anymore.
No. Because it looks like, according to the Wildhead article anyway, Limit hasn't actually raided Crucible of Storm since Thursday. And because right. They're not able to raid both Crucible and Ashara, they're just focusing on Ashara instead. And also some of their raiders are participating in MDI.
Right. And it's just a two-boss raid. It's more of a mini raid. It's kind of like Trial of Valor was in Legion. Like, people are doing it to do it, but I don't think it's much of excitement as there is with a brand new raid tier.
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes sense that no one's really pushing super hard on it.
It looks like Vodkaz has only done 12 hours in Crucible.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I'll probably, by next week, we'll probably have a winner for that. But
watch Method. Method's gonna like, okay, I guess we'll try now.
They might, and knock up
both bosses in like a night.
Their best pull so far is 33%, so I mean they're in the list, they're trying, just not super hard. But I agree, like Capo in chat is saying that the fights are fun, and I agree, like they're pretty fun fights. And it's a fun little raid. So if you haven't checked it out yet, it is an LFR, so you should probably go check it out.
Eventually. When the queue's not terrible.
One day.
Just queue with me. I'm a healer. I'll take care of you.
But when I queued, you weren't online.
Well, we'll have to fix that. Probably not this week, but maybe next week. We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely not Saturday, because, like, we have other things to get on Saturday.
This is true.
What time do they go on sale on Saturday?
10 Pacific?
Yeah, noon our time.
All right. Oh, so the usual.
But the waiting room opens up half an hour before it, so.
All right. Oh, damn it, Dallas. Had to tie it up. Shorthanded. All right. I'm going to talk about other stuff. Now I'm sad. All right. So we talked about BlizzCon. We talked about what's happening now. So we're going to talk about a little bit about what's coming up. So 8-2, as we all know, is in the PTR right now. And there are a couple, there are some story points that I'm sure are of interest to many people. We're not going to talk about them in great detail. In fact, I'm only going to give them really a passing mention, just so everybody knows that if they're interested in these story points, you can take a look at them on the PTR or, you know, on Wowhead or Infamous Champion, one of the two, or any other source that might be available. So, right now, the story points that are available on the A2 PTR are both of the quest lines for the Gnome Heritage Armor and the Tauren Heritage Armor, I don't really want to say more than that, but they look interesting. and the big thing that's coming up in A2, because it's not a BFA story, it's not a BFA story patch if we're not going to delve into more Sylvanas stuff. Now, again, not going to go into great details about that, but if you want to look over some of the things that we might be expecting from Sylvanas in A2, go ahead and check it out on Wellhead or MMO Champion. There are some write-ups as to what's been data mined regarding that specific story.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was kind of annoyed. Both Wowhead and MMO Champion posted major stuff about the story behind Sylvanas and both of the Heritage Quest lines with no spoiler coverage at all, so I was really frustrated.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But I mean, also, like, I don't know. I mean, I see the title of the article, Tauren Heritage Armor Quest Line. Like, I'm going in there expecting spoilers. But I don't know in what context you saw them either. So,
So Wowhead, that's not a problem because you only see the header and a bit of a description.
Yeah.
With MMO Champion, it's just on the one page. Like, it's just the whole page. So there is no collapsed.
And section. They used to do spoiler stuff, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I don't know why they stopped.
Yeah, that's not great. Why MMO Champion? Why?
Don't know at all.
Oh, well.
It's their choice. I just choose not to go there. So
yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more 8.2 story stuff that will be available soon, which I'm on a WoW podcast, so like I expect to be spoiled. So I'm just going to go ahead and dive in and read those.
I will say that I'm utterly shocked that the Rust Bolt Resistance has lots of blueprints on their stuff. Let's talk about that stuff, shall we?
So coming up in 8.2, obviously we got a bunch of new factions and things like that. We have some great faction rewards coming up. I'm not going to list every single thing off because it's just too many. But the Rust Bowl Resistance, which is the Mechagon stuff, there'll be some various blueprints that give us rings and trinkets. And looks like some things for at least a couple of professions. So that'll be really cool. And as we've known before, like this whole area is going to have a lot of, obviously, you know, mechanome themes and that kind of thing. And part of that is going to actually be a mount called the Rust Bolt Resistor for Exalted. And it's going to cost 524,288 gold.
That's an oddly specific number.
I'm sure there's some reason for it.
I'm sure there is. I don't know why, but that's like 3 tokens at least. No, actually, now it's probably like 5 tokens.
Frazzly, you're a gnome. Translate for us. Why is it such an odd number? But there'll be some Frazzly. So the cost of this mount is 524,288 gold once you reach Exalted with Rust Bolt Resistance. Why is it? Oh, and the big thing from Exalted, a schematic for Blingtrong 7,000, finally.
New Blingtrong!
Yes.
I never once made a single Blingtrong 6,000 on my engineer. Never once.
Okay, Blingtrong, what do you give?
Well, I'm excited to get quests from Blingtrong 7,000. Super excited. So that's definitely a great thing to look forward to. For the Unshackled, which is Horde, and the Ancone, if I'm saying that right, which will be Alliance, that's out in Nazjatar. Both of those will give you an option to get new troops for mission table, which will probably be in the theme of those, you know, reputations, so that'll be really cool. And some more, you know, recipes for alchemy and enchanting and things like that. And more mounts. So there'll be the Unshackled Wave Ray for Horde and the Ancone Wave Ray for Alliance. And they look like stingrays, except awesome. And of course, you know, the Alliance one has, you know, more of a blue theme to it, and the Horde one has more of a red theme to it. But they look really cool, and I'm super excited about them.
You know, one of these days I want to do a red Alliance mount and a blue Horde mount. Just saying.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that, but blue's my favorite color, so I like having the blue stuff.
And I mean, we're going to have a blue wolf soon.
Yeah?
Yes, but it's not a red wolf for the Alliance.
But it's a Horde mount. It's a Horde-themed mount, but for Alliance.
It is still not a red Alliance mount. Anyways. Just note that a troop requisition you get is just to add that type of troop to what you can recruit for your missions.
Yeah.
So it's not like adding more troops or adding more followers. It's just adding a different type of troop you can get.
Yeah. Also, both the Najatar reps will also, for Exalted, give you the Greater Mystical Cauldron recipe for alchemists. So that is fantastic for raiders.
I've also never made a cauldron.
I'm not surprised. Also, there will be new contracts for inscriptionists for both those reps. Some more things for inscriptionists to do, which is always a good thing.
Give me that wave ray. I love the ray mounts.
It looks... I'm super excited about the Alliance one. It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of the Horde one, because like it's patterned and looks cool. The Alliance one, I mean, it still looks good. It's just more on the plain side. But I mean, I'll take it, because I love rays. 250 marks of Ashara, though. Ugh. Something tells me that's going to take a while to rack up.
Like it should take a little bit. Like it's a mount.
Maybe it'll take the entire exalted run.
Maybe.
Like if all these other things cost marks of Ashara, then I'm just not going to get them. Just immediately save up for the mount, because that's all I care about. Something tells me that's not the case, though.
Oh, I'm sure they'll all cost marks of Ashara, varying levels and
requirements.
Yeah, but like the other things like are more profession based, right? So I can see those just costing gold.
Probably. A lot of the other ones are profession based.
I think the troop requisition from Unshackled / and Cohen will be marks and the mount for sure. And I can see the rest being just cash. And the tabard, of course, will probably cost that too.
Yep. 10,000 gold tabard, just you wait. I think that's about how much they are right now, which is ridiculous.
And that's why I don't buy them.
I buy them.
don't see the need. But that's just me.
Well, I need them in just in case I need the perfect tabard for Trial of Style.
Gotcha. Well, that's definitely an interesting list of rewards. And again, not surprised there's a bunch of blueprints on the Mechagon-related one.
Nope.
Because that's totally them.
So another thing that has been released in the PTR, now again, this is all just PTR, but this is kind of a big system thing, so I don't see why they would change it too much. But we have seen the new gear system for the Najatar area, which is going to be really similar to, you know, Isle of Thunder, Timeless Isle, Tanan Jungle, Argus, where you get the token for a item of gear, you know, an armor cache, you know, that kind of thing. And then you can upgrade it with a separate item. And these items These items are called Asharan Pearling Kits. Asharan Pearling Kits, there we go. So you'll get those as you're doing different items and that kind of thing. The guess right now, just based on PTR and stuff, is that the base token will create a randomized gear stat. It'll probably be around 370. But then the Asharan Pearling Kit will upgrade it to 400. And then these Asharan Pearling Enhancement will continue to upgrade it 6 different times, all the way up to 430. So we've seen similar systems in the past. People have different opinions about them. But it's not the worst system. I'm okay with that. And we're not sure yet in terms of account-wide versus, you know, soulbound, and if you can trade it to people or whatever, because it's just, you know, PTR. But if it works like it has in the past, I'm sure there's going to be some account-wide possibilities, which helps gear up alts, because we're almost at that time of the expansion to help alts more. So I think that'll be pretty great. What do you guys think?
I look forward to the inevitable arms race between myself and Medros.
Yeah. I look forward to my inability to say Asharan Pearling Kit. For some reason.
Hey, you did it that time.
Hey, yeah, I did it that time. Finally. Like, I know there's been some frustration in the past with this type of system where it's a little RNG based with that initial piece of armor you get. You can't control, you know, the stats and that kind of thing. But the way to upgrade it, I'm okay with. You know, I think it works out.
Yeah.
This article Maha does mention that the Asharan Purling Enhancement that will upgrade it, you know, you use that a few times to upgrade to 430, will probably be a little bit harder to obtain than the base Purling Kit. But, you know, that makes sense. And again, this is all just PTR, so we're not entirely sure yet all the details.
I'm not mad at the system. It does say that the final item level of 430 is going to be roughly equivalent to heroic loot from the Eternal Palace, but like roughly equivalent. So while it might, so I read that as just a little bit lower than that, which is fine for a catch-up mechanic, which is basically what this is. So I ain't mad. Gives me the opportunity to get good gear for whenever I do have a chance to raid, if I ever have a chance to raid. Yeah.
I definitely like this, and I look forward to having my 420 or 430 eye level. But I know Ali will still beat me, so it's fine.
Maybe.
Which item level, sorry?
Well, right now we're both 399, so it just...
Max 430.
You have had far better luck with drops than I have. Far better, so...
But you raid.
Yeah. Raiding has nothing to do with RNG, buddy. You still have better luck.
Well, you should be able to take, like, guild leader, you know, choice and pick on what drops, don't you?
Trust me, that doesn't work.
I could, but I'm not that kind of guild leader. You know, I want, if anything, like, I am that guild leader who will give it to someone else if I know they need it more than I do, even though I'm a healer, because I want to make sure everyone's happy.
See, Josie, the problem for you is that your raid leader didn't like you, so.
Will wasn't my raid leader. He was just a loot master.
Okay, so your loot master hates you, or doesn't like you.
Yeah, well...
As evidenced by the fact he just takes so much enjoyment from trolling you.
He does it from a place of love.
And I'm sure that your blues are going to lose out of a place of love too, right?
I mean, they're winning right now, so...
Yeah, they can lose in 43 seconds. The Jets did it, often.
That's true. All right. Okay.
Retribution, man. Retribution.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Classic, shall we?
Yeah. So Classic, we got a little bit more news specifically about the itemization that's going to be used in WoW Classic. Now, for those of you who experienced that Classic life, that vanilla life back in the day, you're aware that so many of the items changed throughout all the different patches because some of them started out incredibly useless. And as the game progressed, they became not so useless. So the team over at WoW Classic has decided that they're not going to go through all the useless bits and just settle on whatever the last version of the item was during Classic. So that will be the versions of patch 1.12. So that's good, you know, because useless gear is not fun, and like at the end of the day, it'd probably just be a little too much work to do all that. So, from what I can tell, the response to this has been pretty positive, and yeah, I think that's probably the best choice considering the work that they're going to be doing, like the amount of work they're going to be doing, like for Classic post launch, like the amount I presume they'll be doing. Having just the one version of items is probably the best way of going about things. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is a good way of doing it. It definitely avoids the whole process of having to, like, figure out what the best version of something was and stuff. So hopefully it'll work out to less overall work for them and a better experience for everybody else. So,
yep.
What about you, Ali?
It's fine. I'm not personally super picky about choices they're making for WoW Classic. For me, it's more experiencing zones again, you know, the way they were for Cataclysm and things like that. So when it comes to the smaller details of itemization and what version they're going to use, that kind of thing, that doesn't bother me as much personally. So whatever they choose to do, I'm kind of just okay with personally.
All right. Well, I think on that note, we're going to move on to our second sponsor of the show. So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today, we're going to listen to a book from the Diablo universe, The Legacy of Blood. Let's have a listen.
...of those fortunate enough to live to find it. Norik and his friends had journeyed there, entering the labyrinth in the dead of night, without the knowledge of the local populace. And after all their efforts, after battling strange beasts and narrowly avoiding deadly traps, they had found that someone else had stripped the underground maze of nearly anything of value. Only upon returning to the village had they learned the sorry truth, that a great champion had descended into the labyrinth but a few weeks before, and supposedly slain the terrible demon, Diablo. He had taken no gold or jewels, but other adventurers who had arrived shortly thereafter had made good use of his handiwork, dealing with the lesser dangers and carrying off all they could find. But a few days' difference had left the trio with nothing to show for their efforts. Norik himself had also taken no consolation in the words of one villager of dubious sanity, who had, as they had prepared to depart, warned that the champion, so-called the Wanderer, had not defeated Diablo, but rather had accidentally freed the foul evil. A questioning glance by Norik toward Faustin had been answered at first with an indifferent shrug by the Vizierai sorcerer. There are always stories of escaping demons and terrible curses.
Once again, that was Diablo, Legacy of Blood, written by Richard A. Knack and narrated by Josh Clark. You can find that in over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. All right, so our question of the week for last week was, what non-story data mined item are you most looking forward to? Zephyriah says, all of them.
Capo said, cogwheel. And Dendrakar said, junk heap drifter. Has that rad Mad Max vibe?
Spectacular Death says, maybe Naga Battle Pets. And next week's question is, what do you think of the new portal pass tier for BlizzCon tickets?
I think we've all pretty much summed up our thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to be curious to see how many people go for that.
Yeah. Like personally, for me, it's not worth the money, but I'm sure to other people, they will enjoy those perks.
Yeah, I mean, the perks are nice. I don't know if they're worth that much, but they're nice perks.
Yep.
And if people have that money and want to do that, then I am happy for them to have that ability.
I will interestingly wait to see what exactly ends up being the result. All right, time for shoutouts. Thirsty, you first.
Shout out to the St. Louis Blues, who just won in a nail-biter 4-3 against the Dallas Stars to go two games to one in the series. Just two more games. Nice. Two more games. I love it.
Allie?
Even though he is just logged off for the night, shout out to Frasley for filling in for me last week. I appreciate it, and it was nice to know that the show was in good hands. I mean, it already is, because it has, you know, you two, obviously, but... felt bad about taking the week off, so it was good to have, you know, my friend Frasley filling in, so good times.
Hey, we all need time off every once in a while.
Good catch there. Good catch. Alright, my shout-out is going to be Allie for returning to us.
Oh, hey, you're welcome. What, do you think I was going to ditch you? It's like, 1 week off, nah, I'm done, guys. Peace out.
1 week where you didn't have to do a podcast on a Monday, you could just focus on your podcast that you do. Alright, time for our outro, though.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WELL-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Join our Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata and our Discord at bit.ly/ATA Discord, which is where we record every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, Ali is at AliandrusK, I am at ToastyPostyCan, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of I level 400.
BlizzCon tickets. And BlizzCon tickets. Yes. And BlizzCon tickets.
We can do it, Toasty. I believe in us.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions. Copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.